pick another night.
Yeah.
That more people are fucking available and not do it with me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we have a geeky boners episode. It's been a while since we've been able to make dick jokes and talk about stuff that we really enjoyed, so we're going to give it a shot. Enjoy the dick jokes and the other stuff.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
That's me. I'm Molly Glover.
She is Molly Glover. And Nick Glover.
I'm also a Glover. The Nick one.
The Nick one. And you know what? It's been a while, but they have always been there, just underneath the surface of our pants, waiting to be exposed. It's time for some geeky boners.
That is which boner may never die, but rises again harder and firmer and geekier.
Oh, my! Excuse me, I should move up front of this table. Oh, boy. Woo! It stings.
All right, so that's enough dick jokes for now.
Is it?
For now. For now. I'm not saying there won't be more dick jokes, but I am saying for now.
All right.
Let's move on from the dick jokes and straight to the dicks. Molly.
Yes.
Why don't you let us know about your geeky boner right now?
I got a boner for teenagers.
Teenage boners.
Just kidding. Sorry.
It's funnier couldn't, knowing what it is.
Couldn't make yeah. a Roy Moore. Couldn't, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So Hulu recently debuted the show Marvel's Runaways, and it's a Marvel MCU
right.
show, yep. right?
I want
to
see that one.
It's in the MCU. Runaways, as I've talked about it before, Runaways is one of my favorite Marvel titles.
Brian K. Vaughn.
It was in digest form. There's a character named Molly. It's got all the things I love. There's a dinosaur.
Is the Molly character in Runaways? Because yes. they could have chosen not to put that character
Nope, she
in
is, right. and I'll get there. So, okay. So Runaways is about a group of teenagers who, in the comic, what happens is their parents are part of some group and they all get together like once a month or once every couple months or something, and maybe even once a year in the comic, I don't remember. They get together on a fairly regular but not super regular basis, and when they do this, all of their kids are kind of forced to do that. Your parents are all having a meeting, all the kids are going to be in the rec room hanging out together. So they have been friends their whole lives, but they are friends of convenience. Right. And as they have become teenagers, they are growing more and more apart in their disparate views of what they like and what they're into and the social groups they run with.
Breakfast
and
clubby.
Very breakfast clubby. You know, you got your popular kind of dumb jock. You got your beautiful, very popular, blonde white girl. You've got the shorter, chubbier, misfit girl. There's a young girl who in the comic is like 10 or 11. There's the genius kid whose parents are really driving him. There's a girl who is goth Lolita, yep. Japanese kind of thing. And so they're all this group. One night, I'm going to do some spoilers here. So if you don't know what the plot of Runaways is and you don't want the show or comic spoiled for you, I would say maybe just like, don't listen for a little while.
I think the premise is not a spoiler.
I don't think so, but I'm just in case. Like, yeah. just
I think they give it away in the trailer.
Yeah,
the
if you want to go in blind, stop listening. Yeah. Anyway, so one night they for whatever reason they decide to go sneak and peek on their parents doing their thing, and they think it's gonna be like, oh, let's go see what they do. It's probably boring. And happenstance in, and they happen to see their parents murder someone.
Sacrifice
a young girl, a teenage girl, about their own age, in a very horrifying ceremony, and they are magic-y and lots of chanting and robes and nakedness, and then this girl is all dead, and they freak out, obviously, and panic and run away and regroup and try to figure out what to do. And what they decide to do is run away. And they are the runaways.
I get it. Oh.
They run away from home because their parents are all clearly evil. Super villains, yeah. really. Their parents are all high-powered, very smart or very famous or very well-placed in the
connected.
Business world, connected
yeah.
people. And they start to put these pieces together, and as they all start talking, they realize that their parents are all fucking evil and that they are super villains, and they need to get the fuck out, and they run away. That is the premise of the comic and the show.
Right.
Details that the show has changed a few things. I love all the changes. And if you guys have been listening, you know that I tend to be an adaptive prescriptivist. I want adaptations to be exactly what the material was or pretty goddamn close. Otherwise, why are you adapting this and not just writing your own knockoff story? This does a very good job. The things they change feel very much necessary and or... A good ad that drives the story. In the show, the girl, the Lolita goth girl, has a sister that died. And we find out that this was like 2 years ago, basically to the day at this point.
Yeah.
And that prior to her death, this girl was not all goth and everything. But her sister dies, and that death is what's kind of driven them apart. So the group doesn't really get together. They're also all aged up. They're all about the same age now.
But most of all, Molly.
Most of all, Molly. Molly changed the most. So Molly used to be like 10 years old. Her name was Molly Hayes. Her parents were alive and part of the group. In the new show, her parents died. And when her parents died, she got adopted by one of the other sets of parents, Gert's parents, Hernandez is Molly's new last name. So they made Molly Latina, too, which... Cool,
nice. Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be Molly Hayes. Got a lot of white people in this show, so now she's Molly Hernandez, and she gets adopted by the Yorks, Gert's parents. And so now Gert and Molly, who in the comics always had this sort of big sister, little sister relationship by nature of Gert being kind of a nice caretaker-y kind of person and Molly being little. That relationship, rather than being a thing they grow into and is more, you know, situational, is a thing that's been around since Molly was like 3 and Gert was 5. It's just the way it's always been. So otherwise, almost everything is the same.
Do the kids have powers? I mean,
some of them, there's some. So Molly has powers. Molly in the comics is a mutant. They haven't really said what she's going to be, but she has powers, super strength. Okay. Molly has super strength. Whenever she uses her super strength, she gets very tired very fast and has to immediately lie down and nap.
She crashes hard.
There is the goth Lolita girl, Nico, is a sorceress in the comics. It's magic. It seems like maybe the wand is technological in the show, but we're not sure. Chase is doesn't have powers, but his father was a super genius and did all these like inventions. And in the show, so he's a little bit of a genius too.
He's like the super.
He's the tech guy. He invents tech gadgets. No, Alex is the super genius. So Alex is the kid who's like the true super genius. Like he's kind of the leader of the group, mastermind of everything, really. And his power seems to just be that he is a fucking genius. He's super smart.
A
strategist. Tactics. Yes, that's good. Yeah. Tactics. Yeah.
He's a general.
He's the one. Yeah, he's the one who's like, we all got to run away. He's, you know, the one that kind of drives everything. Carolina is magical. She is an alien, right?
Yeah.
Some dimensional being.
She's an alien.
Yeah. So at least half alien, at least. And so she has magical light powers. It's kind of a prismatic.
Sounds like majestic. And I don't, it's like the Magistians or something.
Yeah. So she has powers. And then Gert's power is that in the comic, her parents are time travelers. They go back in time and they get this dinosaur that is then genetically imprinted upon with Gert's DNA so that Gert controls her. They have a psychic link. Her power is that she has a dinosaur.
Cool.
Yeah, and that's what it is old lace. The way they described it in the show is great. Her parents are biological geneticists, experimental geneticists. So they created this dinosaur purportedly. And the reason the dinosaur follows Gert's commands is there's a vent that goes from the dinosaur's lair, like holding pen, up to Gert's bedroom. And so all the times that Gert's been singing lullabies to Molly or talking, Old Lace has heard it. And so Gert's voice soothes Old Lace and she can command Old Lace because Old Lace sees her almost like a mom.
Sure.
I think there's going to be more to it than
I think so too.
So, anything else you want? Because we got to move through these bones.
Yeah, no, that's it. You should watch it. It's fucking great.
Great.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. And somebody can command a dinosaur.
Quickly, jack my boner off.
Yeah.
Nick, came.
Yeah.
Nick, it is time for you to tell us about your boner.
Finally, after months of delay, we got...
Sorry. Just your boner. Yeah.
We got a trailer for Avengers Infinity War.
Oh.
And... what it tells us and what it reveals about the movie is great and very suggestive without giving away too much about the story.
Looking at you, Star Wars trailers.
Yeah, but there's some things in there that are super worth geeking out about. This is a Russo Brothers movie, like Civil War and Winter Soldier, which is great.
Good. So
they did. Those movies are all right.
They're really great.
So there's some stuff. They show Cap in Black. They show him as, like, the captain.
Captain Black!
When U.S. Agent takes over the Captain America shield and all that from him. They have him in black, which is great. There's even that line, Black Panther, about get this man his shield.
Yeah.
Which is kind of something that happens when he is the captain and not Captain America. It's cool. They show Tony Stark has an arc reactor in his chest again.
Yeah.
Which was not there at the end of Iron Man 3 or in Civil War, for that matter. They show Vision with the mind stone or gem getting taken out by
Pride.
Corvus Glaive, in my opinion, the last great event Marvel had was written and orchestrated by Jonathan Hickman, who, might be leaving the company following Brian Michael Bendis, Infinity. And I'm really glad that they're taking some things from that for the movie that bears kind of the same theme, which is Thanos and his Black Order.
Okay.
So he has his own kind of squad of dudes. It's not just Thanos. He has the Ebony Maw and Corvus Glaive and Proxima Midnight and the Outriders and a few others, I think.
Those are all good, like, black adjacent names, right? Like Corvus and Midnight. So,
like, Corvus Glaive is like a mind controller guy. That is totally who's taking out the mind gem.
With that weird talony thick claw,
Proxima Midnight is who's throwing that long spear at that Cap that gets dodged in the trailer. They show Banner and Black Widow having a conversation together, which is cool because there's some unresolved stuff there. We actually get to see Tom Holland is Spider-Man, right? Is that the kid's name?
Yep.
We get to see the hairs on his arm raised.
Yeah, and the spider sense.
His spider sense
shot him like, sweet, because they didn't do anything about spider sense.
Not really. And then they show him in the Iron Spider armor. Yeah. And Loki with the Tesseract again. Which is,
Black Widow's got a new hairstyle.
She does have white hair now.
That is like the only thing they show her doing.
Loki had the Tesseract? That surprises me.
You will?
No, it's so weird. I was pretty sure he was going to leave it alone.
They didn't show him taking it at the end of Thor Ragnarok, so I assumed that, man, he didn't.
They show the Hulk crashed into some shattered building that looks a lot like the New York Sanctum Sanctorum.
Oh, yeah, it did. Yeah, yeah. Though the Guardians of the Galaxy are in the trailer.
As is
Doc Strange.
They show what might be Bruce Banner in the Hulkbuster armor and not Tony Stark in the Hulkbuster armor, which is an interesting little thing.
Who's he busting?
So here's, I just want to give a little rundown on this. So the next Marvel movie is Black Panther. We get that on February 16th.
I'm so excited.
We get that for Valentine's Day.
Black History Month, as our good friend Duck Washington pointed out.
Oh, yeah. Shit, that's dope.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
You don't think so?
No. You talk to a person of color about it.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, you got to release the first movie with people of color in fucking Black History Month.
I'm guessing it was either well-intentioned but misdirected
or
white help.
Fucking think about it.
Or it was trying to take away money from Valentine's Day rom-coms.
I would have thought of it as celebratory. I had never considered it.
And here we are, white privilege. Yeah.
The problem is it's not celebratory because they do it all the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's tokenism, not celebratory.
Yep. Exactly.
I get that.
Yep. That makes sense.
So we get Black Panther, and then boom, less than 3 months later, we get Infinity War. And then right away,
isn't it Ant-Man and Wasp?
Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yeah.
Is that summer or fall?
That is July.
So there's going to be a trailer for Ant-Man and Wasp coming really soon, don't you think?
Well, you would have thought that about Infinity War.
Maybe
are
they going to save it for Black Panther?
I don't know.
There might be something. Here's the thing. The reason I think they didn't show us the Infinity War trailer yet was specifically because of that last scene in Thor Ragnarok. And showing that Loki gets into where that cube is. Yeah. Otherwise, if you saw that trailer, you'd be like, how the fuck did Loki get, all right. And then you'd see Thor Ragnarok and be like, oh, I kind of knew he got it.
Yeah.
So I think that they're doing it very intentionally.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
So The Ant-Man and Wasp thing is interesting because it's Hope Van Dyne, Evangeline Lilly?
Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah.
She has said in interviews that there's a lot on the table for Infinity War. There are a lot of characters who might not come out of Infinity War.
Oh, my God.
And that Ant-Man and Wasp, following on the heels of Infinity War, will be dealing with some of the repercussions and aftermath of such a big event.
That's great.
She said it was definitely strongly tied to what happens following the Infinity War, which is great. And then we get to wait like a fucking year for another Marvel movie before we get the two movies that end Phase 3 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is Captain Marvel in March, where we know it's Carol
March
Danvers.
March 2019.
Yep. We get Carol Danvers, and we get Jude Law as Mar-Vell. So they're going to do a genuine
Captain Marvel,
torch getting passed type thing. Also, we know the bad guy is young Rog. The creepy fucking, there's a, like a rapey storyline there. Then we know the bad guy is tied to the Skrulls, which is super cool because it goes Captain Marvel with Skrulls, boom, May, 2 months later, untitled Avengers movie, the second half of Infinity. And that is the end of Phase 3 and the start of Phase 4 is after that, which if they introduce Skrulls and we have all this cosmic shit with Thanos and the title of the last movie hasn't been revealed, it could be going into Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion!
For Phase 4, which would be super fucking cool.
It's my favorite storyline ever.
And all of this is just spun off this trailer finally fucking coming out. But it's
Man, it's exciting.
It's really, really exciting.
I can see why you're so tumescent and pulsing.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a serious boner.
You should see this boner, you guys. I mean, I see it all the time.
Yeah.
But the rest of you actually could probably, you can see this boner from space.
Right.
This is like the Great Wall of China boner.
Yeah.
Even though you can't actually see the Great Wall of China from space.
If this boner was in Korea, Trump would be trying to spend more on the military.
Oh, yeah.
That's how amazingly powered this boner is.
So, yeah, my boner is about a trailer for a movie that's still a ways off. But it is there's some exciting things on the horizon.
Tim.
It does appear some shit's going to go down.
Tim, reveal your genitalia.
People going to die,
boner.
Tim.
Oh, my God. My boner is I just saw Coco.
Oh.
The new Pixar film.
Yeah.
Which is really, really good.
I hear Elsa's great in that.
So, yeah, there's a Frozen
movie.
television
Short?
Special.
Yeah.
That precedes it, which...
It was supposed to be a television special.
Was. And it's not great. It's not awful. It is totally wrong.
And 21 minutes long.
Yeah, it's totally wrong to go in front of Coco. And
completely tacked on.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. There's nothing.
They're taking it out of theaters starting December 8th.
I don't know if they were planning on doing that anyway, which they might have been, but who knows. So I'm not going to talk too much about that. I'm going to talk about Coco.
Pixar puts shorts in front of their movies, though.
Right? But this isn't a Pixar short. This is a Disney short. Frozen is a, and even though they're both the same company, I mean, understand Frozen is a Disney property, and Coco is Pixar.
Okay,
so Pixar will have some people in house producing short films, and they put one of those short films in front of their films, and it's a way that they're developing new talent, new directors, and some people who have gone on to direct Pixar films started by directing one of these shorts. So it's odd that they opted to go with this Frozen thing that was supposed to be a television special.
I'm gonna just guess it was out of their hands.
Well, I'm sure it was.
That's the guess I'm going to put in there.
I'm wondering why Disney did it.
I'm not surprised why Disney did it.
Certainly the reason Disney did it is because Frozen has been the most successful film they released in the last 10 years.
Yep.
They make so much money off that film.
Yep.
And they figured that it was...
Christmas!
Here's the thing. Coco is a film that is about the Mexican tradition of the Day of the Dead.
Yes.
Every character in the film is Hispanic. Every voice actor in the film, with the exception of George Ratzenberger, which is not George, it's Ratzenberger from Cheers.
Paul
Ratzenberger.
I don't know.
Fuck, I don't
remember. I can't remember.
John Ratzenberger from Cheers. He voices a character in every one of their movies. He's like their talisman. So he is the only voice actor that is not Hispanic.
Okay.
So the big thing that you noted, my feeling is the reason they put Frozen at the beginning was to get more white people to go to the theater.
Oh.
But no one knew it was there, so that doesn't make any sense, because well, they didn't add...
On a lot of their ads, they were like, and if you like looked at their stand-ups in theaters, all of them said, including...
Oh, okay, because I hadn't heard... The first I even heard of it was people complaining after they saw Coco.
I knew it was coming, so... So I feel like that's part of it. And the thing is, it is delightful. It's beautiful. It's sad. It's joyful. I mean, it is everything you expect from the best of Pixar. You know, it's like up-level good.
Yeah.
There are some shots. Typically what I say about a Pixar film, pretty much every Pixar film that I see, is at some point in the film, there's a point where you just kind of go, oh. Well, now they're just showing off because their animation is so fucking good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like even in Cars, there's a point where they're like traveling cross country and they're doing shots of driving by crops and fields. And before you stop thinking about why cars would be growing crops, you know, there's just the way you see the different rows are as you drive by a field.
Ethanol.
And that's the one thing that I thought of.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, they're just showing off because... That's a fucking amazing piece of animation. Okay, the City of the Dead in Coco is 3/4 of the movie just showing off.
Huh. I mean,
it's this amazing, like, pile of buildings with all these different light sources and colors, and it's just, it's beautiful and
I've heard it. Unlike putting Black Panther in Black History Month, it actually is. Honoring and amazing without being misplaced, like lip service. From what I've heard,
they put it Thanksgiving instead of Halloween.
That's the only thing that I've had. Yeah, that's a little weird, but
they released it on Thanksgiving. I'm pretty sure because they're like, Thanksgiving's a good weekend to release a film.
Yeah,
a family
film, especially.
And I'm not Hispanic, but everybody I know who is mm-hmm. is all over this movie.
Yeah, all of my Latino and Latina friends were just going crazy about it. And, you know, our sister-in-law is from Mexico. Like, yeah. She's Mexican, came up when she was young. Yep. And she, I don't know if she's seen it yet. I'll have to ask her. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. It is as good as people tell you. It's,
yay.
It's probably the best thing Pixar has done in a long. Well, In and Out, Inside Out was pretty fucking.
I'm really excited to see it.
Yeah, it just. Nothing else. It's beautiful. Here's a piece of advice I'll give you, though.
Okay.
Here's a piece of because before the film, they do one of their little. Hey, we're going to tell you about all the people that helped put this movie together, which is kind of their don't pirate.
Yeah.
Thing without saying don't pirate.
Here's the faces of the people that you're hurting.
Yeah, but what they do is they're like, take a look at this shot, and here's the hundreds of people, and this is how many hundreds of people it took to make this shot happen. Well, the shot they have is the first time you see the City of the Dead. I just close your eyes.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
it's
really?
Like, you want to see that in the context of the movie.
Yeah.
I was a little like bummed. I'm like, oh, you fuckers, that was one of the best shots in the movie and I wanted to be surprised by it. I understand why they did it and all that, but I'm just saying, hey.
I get you on that.
This is my advice. If you've not seen the movie yet, when they get to that part of the movie, hell, go to the bathroom, go refresh your popcorn, do whatever you need to do. But you've got like a minute while they talk about it to not look at the screen. And don't, because you're going to be happier if you see it in the context of the film. So that's my boner.
Well, it's like just real quick, like Rian Johnson. Like, I haven't watched a Star Wars trailer since the first real trailer, I think, is the first full trailer. The second full trailer that came out a few months ago. Because Rian Johnson specifically was like, hey, so I've seen the trailers that are going to be coming out. And if you want to be surprised at all about Star Wars plots or about what's going to happen, stop watching the trailers because they kind of hint real heavily going forward.
This trailer is your last chance to go in with a blank slate.
It's like if you watch trailers going forward, you will not be as surprised. And true enough, we were watching other things on YouTube and it started auto-playing the next thing, which happened to be The Last Jedi trailer 3 or something. And it went... dung, like it does in the first shot. I was like, oh, God damn it. And we like turned it off because right away I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, I instantly knew what it was.
Honestly, if the story's going that direction, it's going to piss me off. So anyway,
I think there's some trickery.
I think there's lots of trickery.
I have to believe there is some trickery, and I just hope there is, because anyway, we can talk
boners
about
are
that.
Done.
We can talk about that after that. So boners are done.
Gleaming.
We need to do five questions.
Oh,
Molly,
yeah.
Molly, do we have five answers?
We absolutely do have five answers. They are from a Patreon supporter, so they went to the top of the line.
That means that they're going to get to listen to that psychic episode we recorded as a Patreon exclusive.
We just did. Exclusive episode.
Yep, and if you want to listen to it, drop us a buck, and you can listen to it.
Molly?
Yep.
Have you met that Jeff on a bike yet?
I have not. Okay. I have not yet met Jeff on a bike.
All right. Well, watch out.
Well, I've got answers from, I'm going to say Lincoln Chrysler. Could be Chrysler, but I think it's Lincoln Chrysler. So Lincoln Chrysler, if I just said your
Toyota
last name wrong, I'm sorry. There we go.
Awesome. All right. Question number one. I don't remember. It is, what conspiracy theory do you find most interesting or compelling?
Aliens. Hands down, I'm a monster Star Trek fan, and I would love to see First Contact in our time, but I don't think they're here now, and I would require as much proof as any discerning skeptic, but I want it.
Oh, I want aliens to be real fucking hard.
Yeah.
I want aliens to visit
Earth. It'd be so cool.
It would, yeah.
Wish
unless
granted,
they kill us all.
We're all
dead. Wish granted Mars attacks.
Hey, if Mars attacks happened, they would kill the president and the Congress.
Yeah, because he is dumb.
Question two, what is your perfect two-week vacation?
Japan for a week, followed by Ireland for a week. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the exposure I've had to both of these cultures, and the food, too. A real Irish pub and a real Japanese ramen would be a dream. A nice desk by a window in each of the hotel suites for me to park my tablet on and write would be icing on the cake.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And then a week of jet lag after.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
We don't talk about the consequences of this particular
question. No, it's true. It's true.
All right. Question number three. What is the geekiest thing?
Nope.
No, that's wrong.
Movie or book?
What is a movie or book that changed your life? And I'll bet it's a book.
1985's X-Men Heroes for Hope comic.
Oh.
It was a one-off Marvel did with the money going to feed hungry kids in Africa. Lots of artists and writers contributed pages. Even Stephen King, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember how I came by it. I was probably 7 or 8. But because of it, I knew to look for X-Men comics a couple of years down the road. I only had a handful of comics between then and my high school years when I was really able to kick my fandom into gear. The X-Men, specifically the 80s through mid-90s iteration of them, have been and always will be my friends.
Yeah, some Chris Claremont shit. Mm-hmm. That's good. It was a good weird era that was only the downsides of that era are purely editorial and not letting their authors do crazy shit that they wanted to do. In my opinion. I don't know.
Fuck you, editors.
Question
don't
number
you edit things, Molly?
Four.
I'm sorry.
I do.
Yeah.
What's the geekiest thing you've ever done or said?
I'm a published author and anthology editor. I'm really proud of my novel and novel-length short story collection, but the geekiest thing I've ever done is helm an anthology of dark superhero fiction called Corrupts Absolutely. Having gained some connections over the years, I solicited and received stories from some top-notch talent. I think I've heard Nick or Molly mention Peter Kleins before. He's in that book.
Oh, yeah.
Easily the geekiest thing I've done. If you've ever gotten pissed at Batman for not just ending the Joker once and for all, this would be the book for you.
There you go.
And yes, we both love Peter Kleins.
So there's a plug for you. Speaking of plugs, what's your favorite hangover cure? Question number five.
Hydrating while drinking. I can lay waste to half a bottle of whiskey while recording my podcast with my buddy and still work out in my garage the next morning if I remember to slip a couple of tall glasses of ice water in there.
All right.
Makes sense. I'm doing it right now. Thanks for reading these. I love the show. Thanks, Lincoln.
Thank you for supporting us via Patreon. I'll remind you that anybody can support us via Patreon just by going to Patreon and flipping a few bucks our way. That would pretty much be it. And any level of support, you get our special episodes because we reached our $50
first
goal.
Yep.
And we did record a special episode about visiting psychics, which was specifically funded by Patreon supporters, and that's why they're the only ones that get to listen to it. Like Lincoln. Lincoln's already heard it.
Yep.
If you enjoyed our Geeky Boner episode, that's great because it's over. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
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 Oh, shit. I forgot to insert one more dick joke. Oop, just did it.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. God, we don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
We post content on Facebook all the time.